Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with the author of How We Love, Milan Jurkovic. And hopefully today you'll get to hear how we laugh as we talk with you and try to help you at 1-800-229-3000. Remember, when we help you, we're helping ourselves too. 1-800-229-3000. 3 hours in the studio today. Come join us for New Life.
I'm glad you accepted my call. I listen every day.
Now, can we all be friends if I say something a little bit confronting?
Give it to me straight. I can take it.
Right. It won't be indirect and it won't be flippant. It will be respectful. But I want you to look at this as you have a problem.
I know I'm making excuses.
Love your honesty. Okay.
So you're saying he went from the honeymoon to the honey move?
Yeah, whenever you do that, it's a little quick.
Yeah.
Are you wondering, Elizabeth, if you're trapped?
Rather than try to teach them something, I would listen and I would just kind of point out the inconsistencies, the lack of evidence, and some of the social pressure that's there.
Hello there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Milan. No, not doctor. I'm sorry. Everybody's a doctor but us.
I know. We're the non-doctor ones.
We're non-doctoral today.
Yeah.
But
probably three times a week somebody calls me that, though. It's kind of weird, but
it's okay.
I'll have to catch up with it someday.
I'm going to start wearing a stethoscope if it keeps up. Milan, how we love our kids, your books. You went out to a very transformation, recovery-oriented church, West Covina.
Yeah, Faith Community Church.
Faith Community, and even though I don't have anything in front of me about when New Life is going to be there, I know we're going out there, and I'm any moment now I'll have the sheets in front of me.
But I got it in my head.
Okay, when is it?
Well, October 7th, Friday
October
night.
7th, we're going to be out there. But you guys, because people are now, when you show up at a place, they're flying in. I'm just telling you, people, if you hear where Milan and Kay are doing an event, you need to go to that event because you had over 1,000 people there.
Well, we did. It was a great event. Pastor Kelly is the one that runs community outreach events, and they have a phenomenal ministry there. They really recognize that people need to be in recovery. And there's a lot of people who've grown up in very desperate situations, and their adult lives reflect that. Mm-hmm. And so they need a place to heal. And as I say, you know, Adam and Eve was your first family of origin. Your biological parents is your second family of origin. And a local church like that is your third family of origin. It's a place you heal. And that's what the local church is all about. That's what New Life's all about, with community and groups and things like that. So it's a great church.
Your fourth family of origin, of course, is after you die. And that's in heaven.
That's a new heavens and a new earth.
Well, you know, there are churches that say, yes, we're really open to recovering people. And then there are recovering churches.
Right.
Where it's a mindset.
Right.
And it really does amazing things in that church when it comes to authenticity and people being open.
Well, the crowd went nuts when I said, you know, you guys are in recovery. I said, it's my opinion that the whole church ought to identify themselves as being in recovery, because we really all are. We're recovering from something.
Right.
And nobody ever does that. And nobody doesn't. A lot of people don't emphasize that. They don't see the brokenness and the woundedness of people.
See, in most churches, you are ostracized if you have a problem. But in a recovery group or a recovering church, you're ostracized if you act like you don't have a problem. It's just the opposite.
Right, right.
And that's where you want to be, is
where
everybody is struggling. And they, because, you know, really, everybody right now, I don't care how happy you are or whatever, you're facing something. Everybody's facing something today.
Well, the recovery movement targets the obvious wounds, you know, in people. And what we need to be is more discerning and knowledgeable about how to love one another in the non-obvious places, which means I have to be honest with you and tell you where I hurt. Mm-hmm. I need to tell you where I'm discouraged, where I need comfort, what loads I need for you to help me bear. If I'm not transparent like that, I will live life alone as a single person within a church.
Right. Well, that's one of those walls that I talk about in Walking Into Walls, disconnected isolation. And there's nothing more disconnecting or isolating than trying to fake it and put up a facade and make people believe that you're healthier than you are. What good does that do? You go to your grave and people say, well, he's not healthy now. He's dead. I mean, there's a big advantage to letting in people into your life and letting them know where you really are. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Everywhere I go, people say, yeah, well, you know, I always enjoy keeping up with Madeline. And I got to tell you, I have never been more proud of her. And here's why. When she was in high school, soccer star, either the best or second best player, usually the high scorer on every team. She goes off to college, Azusa Pacific University. Great school. She loves it. Went there for soccer, but ended up staying because she loves the school so much. And so she hasn't played much in her freshman year and her sophomore year. And so we just had this talk, you know, it's great being a college athlete. And so maybe you can be like one of these quarterbacks that backs up the big shot guy. They never play.
Right.
But, you know, they make $1 million a year or whatever, and they're needed just in case. So maybe you can just enjoy working out and practicing. Well, you know, she worked hard and continued to practice, even if she didn't play. And the coach would use her as an example. Look at Madeline. Look how hard she works, and she's not even playing. So yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This is her junior year.
Yeah.
He says, Madeline, I want you to play center midfield. I mean, back, whatever. The person right in front of the goalie.
Sure.
You have worked hard, and you deserve it. And I want you to play that position. And so, you know, he's here after 2 years, she gets her shot at playing soccer because she didn't get bitter, didn't get angry. She could do well in the lights, and she did well in the darkness too. And I'm just so proud of her. She came down last night. We went to dinner. I'm proud of that girl. She is an amazing child.
There's a verse of scripture that says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you at the proper time.
Right.
A lot of times we're trying to push ourselves into a place, a location, a position of something that we want to achieve. What's always fun and interesting is to hang back, just wait, and let God open doors for you. And, you know, that's admirable, and that's very cool.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm proud of her. I just thought I'd throw that in. I think I talked about it yesterday, too. I'm not sure.
Anyway. Well, but you can do that because you're dad.
Kurt from Orlando, Florida, listens on WTLN. Hello, Kurt. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Doing great. What's going on?
Well, your little lead-in about your daughter kind of helped me a little bit. Several months ago, I called you guys back in June. My wife of 15 years asked me for a divorce.
Ouch.
And you guys were nice enough to send me How We Love. And I've read that and found out a lot about myself and a lot about her. Unfortunately, she's still proceeding with the divorce. She's since moved out and is, you know, getting all the paperwork and ready to go. I had stopped probably after about a month of begging and pleading and crying and, you know, let's not do this. I stopped doing that. And so I guess my question is, knowing that she is a vacillator, she's a beautiful girl. You could probably put her picture in the book and increase sales. She's just beautiful, but she is a vacillator to the T.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an avoider pleaser combination type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, should I make one more push? My question is, do I make one more push to her and say, let's try to work this out? Or do I just kind of, like you just said, let God kind of work it out in his time?
Okay. Well, let's talk with literally the doctor of vacillation. You seem to work with so many of these women, and often they are quite attractive women.
Well, they're not just women, they're men. I mean, I have as many vacillator men in my office as I do women.
I stand corrected.
Well, we just, you know, I think it's important to say that attachment styles are gender neutral,
yeah,
essentially. And I have the equal number on both sides of the aisle. So, Kurt, I appreciate you trying, and I appreciate you trying to understand yourself and your wife. You know what I think? I think that, you know, vacillators always want to run away from somebody that seems distant to them or somebody that they can't create intensity with. And she might be leaving you because she feels like she's never been able to reach into you and ever have any connection with you, which is
character. You've described it perfectly. She says, I'm a great dad, I'm a great provider, I'm even a good husband, but I can't give her what she wants, and she can't trust me with her heart, because I just what you described right there.
Right. The problem is though, sometimes vacillators, men and women, want there to be too much of your capacity to engage with their heart. They overwhelm you, and if you don't quite match their expectations, then what happens is they reject you because they have an idealized view as to what that would look like. You know, maybe they have Princess Bride, you know, pictured in their mind, you know, the movie, where there's an
yep.
incredible intensity of love and romance, and it's just really fairy tale-ish. They struggle with reality, and they have a high ideal as to what they would like love to feel like. And then they struggle with the gap between that and reality. What I would do is I would tell her, because it sounds like you really do love her,
mm-hmm.
and I would tell her, I love you. A divorce is never final in my book until you end up remarrying somebody else, and I'm going to be available for you, and I will always be here for you. And to say, no matter what the papers say about the divorce, I still love you and will be available. And I will also, if my name's Kurt, I'm going to try to learn to better access my feelings and emotions. I'm going to try to be able to share more feelings with her and be more transparent with her about my real state, about how I'm feeling, because that's attractive to vacillators.
Okay.
Don't give up.
And you know, every year we do a marriage conference, and that's what I would be saying to her. We have to go to this.
Yeah, we're doing one with New Life here. We're doing one in April.
Yeah,
that's what I'd be pointing toward.
Well, what she's told me, because we went to counseling, and you know, once the counselor started to zero in on her and saying she has some abandonment issues from her childhood and stuff, she stopped going.
Yeah, that's too bad.
She won't. Yeah, she says she won't do anything right now to repair the marriage.
Right.
That's her.
Well, she's made
but
you.
Yes,
all,
I will bring it up.
She's made you all bad. And,
yes, I am. I am evil.
She's made the marriage all bad, which is what vacillators tend to do. They tend to go between all good and all bad. But I would just be patient with her. Tell her you're here. You're not going anywhere. And you know, it's interesting, Steve. We hear stories here on the radio of people who got divorced and then got remarried. You know, a divorce isn't a final thing.
Right.
It's just a piece of paper.
Right.
I can continue to pursue somebody, and I'm not going to give up and to tell that person that you love them. Vacillators are often very poor in their self-reflection skills. They always target everybody else
yeah.
as making them feel a certain way.
It's just so sad that they need to hear the truth, and it's the truth that runs them off in counseling unless
yeah.
you are able to delicately handle that. How do you handle that? How do you talk truth to a vacillator without them doing what his wife did?
Well, first of all, I don't know how I do that. But they know I love them.
Mm-hmm.
They also know that I understand them. I tell them the struggle they're having before they tell me the struggle they're having,
mm-hmm.
or I add to it, and they get you finally get mm-hmm. me. You do get me, and then it allows me to bridge into their histories and talk about the characteristics of the vacillator, and then depersonalize the marriage just a little bit and say, you know what, you guys are like every other vacillator avoider couple, you know, and there's millions of you out there.
It's such an insult, kind of, to be able to be pegged so accurately, though?
Well, it could be. Some people don't like being labeled, but others love it because, oh, so that's what's wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get letters daily from people who say, it is such a relief to finally find out what's going on in our relationship. And sometimes vacillators, men and women, learn slowly after the failure of the second or third relationship, and they finally, I'm the common denominator. So it takes time, and it may never be repaired. All you can do, and the Bible says, Kurt, for you, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all people, and you can only do your best.
All right, Kurt, I'm going to send you walking into walls, and I hope that will help you there, and sounds like that you've overcome that first wall I talk about, stubborn resistance. You're willing. It's too bad. It's tough for vacillators to get over that wall of stubborn resistance. And boy, the minute somebody, I was in counseling with a vacillator one time, and the guy just asked a question about, what do you think it was in your past that caused that problem in your prayer? And that was it. You know, it was just too far, too much, and it was over. Too bad. What I say. All right, let's talk with Nancy over here from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly, what's going on?
I have a question. I guess it would be more about boundaries. I've been married for 25 years, and when I got married, I had a 10-year-old daughter, and they just butted heads from the minute we've been married on. She wound up running away by the time she was 15, and her life has been downhill. She's 35 now, and she's been in and out of rehabs, and she's doing okay right now. But our marriage, on the other hand, has been very, my husband's always been very distant, very into his own agenda, his own plan, leaving me sitting alone apart, just never pays any attention to me. So I struggle with, where, as a Christian, where do you just say, no, I'm not doing it anymore? Or even for my daughter, I've kind of got a handle on the drug thing. I don't enable her anymore. I don't give her money anymore. But I have struggled with that for years. And where, as a Christian, how do you draw that line?
Okay. Well, I would say two different issues there, one with the daughter and one with the husband. You know, it's important that you draw a line with both. But with the daughter, you know, she has a drug addiction. It's a relapsing phenomena that often happens. And the research shows that there's less relapse when a parent stops enabling the addiction, right?
Right.
So it sounds like you've come to terms with that, or you're at peace with not enabling her addiction. Is that right or not?
I am.
Okay.
I truly am.
But you've been married 25 years, so if I had been talking with you like 6 months in counseling, maybe we'd come to this point where you would see that actually you've kind of fed into his problem for 25 years.
Yeah.
And in one way, you've kind of trained him that it's okay to be that way for 25 years. So it wouldn't be fair to, you know, to train a dog to do something, and then when it does it, you say, I'm sending you off to the pound. Well, for you to say, okay, I'm done with this and I'm going to leave, that wouldn't be, it's just not fair. It's not right. It doesn't honor God. It doesn't take into consideration character and your faith. What you want to do is you want to draw a line that says we're going to go from enabling and we're going to go from stagnation to moving into us getting some help together. That's what you want to do, help together. Now,
we've done that. We went to marriage counseling.
Well,
it wasn't 3 years ago.
It wasn't the right kind of marriage counseling, and you stopped it before things got better. Otherwise, you wouldn't be calling us right now. See, so you can't say this. We heard all the time, I did marriage counseling. You may have had a bad marriage counselor, or they may have had the wrong approach, but there is a problem here between you and your husband that needs fixing. And you need a third party to help you with the fix.
Okay.
And
how
think,
do you know when you're in the right counseling?
Well, you know, I think it's because, like Milan was talking about just a minute ago, one of the things he does with people is your counselor starts saying things that indicate he understands what you're going through. And that there are other people that have been helped. I mean, what do you say, Milam, when people say, how do I know if this is good counseling or not? I mean, there's got to be a reputation of helping other people, not just the fact that they're a counselor.
Well, I was just going to say, Nancy, that a lot of therapists are trained to do individual therapy. You put a couple in the room with them, and they don't quite know what to do. And there's a strong tendency amongst many counselors to split couples up, especially if they feel reactive. The number of really experienced couples counselors are much fewer, and you really have to look for somebody that specializes in couples counseling, somebody that focuses on emotions, not just cognition, but somebody who knows how to focus on emotions and as well understands attachment. Because you take this emotionally avoidant and emotionally minimizing male, could be an emotionally minimizing female as well, they don't know how to connect with people. They will leave you sitting alone in the park and not even see you.
We'll be back. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. I'm going to send Nancy How We Love. I think if she would read it, I know if her husband would read it, you guys would see yourselves in that book. And there's so much hope. Now, if you're sitting there driving down the road in your car and, or in your kitchen by yourself and you're going, yeah, we did marriage counseling too. Stop that. That is not the thing to be saying. You say, hey, I think we better get back in there and do some work and grow closer together and do the work.
Could I also comment that when a child inherits, not by their own will, they inherit a step-parent at 10 years old?
Yeah.
We don't know what's happened to that child in 10 years with respect to their reactivity, what the divorce did to them, what the previous parent did to them in terms of making them unsettled inside. And so an unsettled child isn't regulated well.
Right.
So all of a sudden they're in the same house with a step-parent, and it's not necessarily something that's easy for the child to adapt to. And frequently what happens is the step-parent gets upset that the child is resisting or causing reactivity with them, and all of a sudden the step-parent is now 10 years old as well. Mm-hmm. And that is something we describe in our new book, How We Love Our Kids.
Yeah,
there's big changes we need to make in ourselves first as parents before we can expect optimal changes in our children.
Yeah, I know that's ringing true with a lot of people who are in these situations. It's very difficult, very, very difficult. Let's go to Elizabeth from Atlanta, Georgia. NRB Network is where she watches the program. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I need help in trying to figure out what's going on with my husband. I'm very confused, and I'm just about crazy trying to figure out his behavior. It doesn't make sense.
Well, what's he doing that doesn't make sense? And maybe we can help you make some sense of it.
Well, in around 2004, he came to me and he told me that he thought that my mother was coming on to him.
Okay.
And I told him I wasn't surprised because I had some issues with my mom before, and I told him I would just watch things. And I watched her, and I saw her doing what she normally does. She's quite a flirty person.
Mm-hmm.
But his behavior was what confused me. He, one occasion, he slapped on the behind. Another occasion, she was dressed up nice, and he told her she looked sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Another occasion, she asked him to massage her back, and she bent over in front of him, and he massaged her back. And when we came home, he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I know that made you uncomfortable." And he has even went behind my back and talked about me to my mom.
Oh, my goodness.
And all of this is really confusing me because I'm like, you're telling me that she's coming on to you, but I don't see you doing the behavior that would accompany that.
You're not
telling her no, you're not backing off, you're encouraging the wrong type of behavior.
And what kind of discussions are you having with your mother too?
Well, I have not talked to my mom because I have really kind of distanced myself from her, and kind of I decided her behavior, it's been something that was ongoing. She was causing more problems than none, so I just decided to love her from a distance. She would call me and make all kind of comments. I can get your husband to do more than you can, and all of this and that.
Uh-huh. So why do you go over there and spend time with her if she's saying stuff like that? Why would you be around somebody, anybody, that would be saying, I can get your husband to do more stuff than you can?
Well, in the past, I guess because I loved her so much and I had kids, and it took me a long time to really realize that there was a problem with her.
Right.
And to distance myself from her.
Yeah.
But now I'm focusing more on my husband because I see some of the same behaviors again, because I have a niece that asked me to, if she could come and stay here temporarily.
Uh-oh.
She's grown. And within a week of her being here, I noticed that both of them smoke. And both of them were extended periods of time out in the garage smoking. And one time he got up, we were looking at a movie, he got up and left me and my son, and he went out, out with her for 45 minutes.
Okay.
And a red flag came up to me because I'm like, I don't know, what is he doing? Is he going to go out and try to stir up stuff and talk about me again with another family member? Or what is going on with him?
So what happened when you got up and checked on it?
Well, what I did was I confronted both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I told her and him that I was uncomfortable with their being out there,
mm-hmm.
and that there had been family problems with regards to trust issues with him, and that I was uncomfortable.
So what happened?
Okay, she pretended like she didn't have a problem with it, and he said, "Well, okay, I understand." He went ahead and told her that he didn't really want her there, but it's something he had to work on. But still, since then, I've gotten up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He's out in the garage, and she's coming up the stairs from being out in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see
what Mylon thinks about this. But first, is there a specific question that you want us to answer with regard to this?
I don't know where the problem lies. Is there something with my husband that I'm missing, or am I overreacting to this guy?
Doesn't sound like you're missing much, huh?
I don't know.
Like you're seeing a lot.
Yes.
2 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
In the garage.
Mm-hmm.
You got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not overreacting, I don't think. We'll hear from Mylon when we come back from this break, okay?
Okay.
All right. You know, you're either together or you're not. You're either committed to each other or you're not. You're either growing together or you're growing apart. And we can't let mothers and nieces and other people be the excuse when it's a husband that's the one that's drifting or wandering or being blatantly unfaithful. We got to take care of that problem. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number if you want to join us on the program.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay. Talking with Elizabeth, the mother, her mother, Elizabeth's mother, comes on to the husband and he responds. Niece moves in. They're out in the garage together at 2 a.m. in the morning, in the black of night. Oh, my goodness. Myman, what do you think?
Elizabeth, you know, did you ever see the movie The Bucket List?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember the scene where Morgan Freeman is sitting at this restaurant area, and this woman comes up and offers him to go up to her room?
Yes.
And he says, no, I have my wife at home that I love.
Yes.
And Jack Nicholson had set all that up to test him to see if he really meant that. And the lady said to him, wow, you really did pass the test because you didn't know who I was. And as I watched the movie, I thought, how many of us men would pass that test like Morgan Freeman did in that movie?
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that every man's battle teaches men, and what all of us men have to learn to do, is to control our sexual predatorial tendencies.
Mm-hmm. Urges, you could say.
And urges, you know, the urge to merge. And if we don't ever have anybody teach us how to do that, or we don't know that that's God's standards for a man's mind to learn to control his thoughts, nobody's ever working on it. So we will find ourselves just enjoying flirtatiousness. It gives us a little adrenaline kick and a little euphoric little hit.
Yes.
That feels good to us. And I was talking to somebody recently whose mother was 80 years old, just like your mother, and they were at a family function, and she had a group of men all around her, and she was working the guys, you know, at 80 years old. She was loving being the center of attention. She was being provocative, et cetera, et cetera. And so you put those two things together, the immature female that needs lots of attention and uses her sexiness to draw the attention of a male, and you take a person who's undisciplined with respect to being able to control themselves and their impulses, and that's a bad combination.
I agree.
Yeah. So I don't think you are at all misreading things.
Me either.
And I think you have a right to say to your husband, what are you going to do, instead of just saying it's about the niece and the mom, what are you going to do about this general tendency that all men struggle with, which is to learn to control yourself?
But then, too, there are other issues, too, with him, which also confused me, because see, he has never wanted me to be around his family member. When we first got married, he didn't want me talking to his family members, and he keeps me over here in a vacuum. But he can go and he can talk to
He's got a double standard now, doesn't he?
You know what I suspect?
That's not confusing. I mean, he's jealous and doesn't want anybody to mess with his, you know,
or
possessions. Or what were you going to say?
He doesn't want the family members connecting with her and talking and giving her a couple of more pieces to the puzzle, because they know he has a reputation of this all his life. And so he wants to put his past in the past to give him freedom to do what he wants to do now.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be pegged.
Right.
And I think exposure to the family is a risk for him, that they're going to say, hey, yeah, you've been, how you handling
it? Because he's worked them. They love him to death. I'm the bad guy here.
You're right. The bad guy?
Right.
Yes.
Because you have boundaries and you're willing to recognize there's a problem. So, Elizabeth, you said, I'm confused, several times during this conversation. And I don't think you need to be confused.
No.
You have a husband who has wandering eyes. You have a husband that doesn't necessarily know how to control himself. He doesn't know how to create security with you. And I think, you know, he really needs to go to an Everyman's Battle workshop.
Yeah.
where a woman is where men can learn that a woman is a person, not an object, a sexual object. Because this world simply promotes the concept of sexuality and the objectification of women, making them objects.
What would you do if you found out that he had invited a woman to dinner and had dinner with her at a very dark restaurant, romantic restaurant, and they spent the evening dancing together? What would your reaction be if you found out about that?
I wouldn't be shocked. Because
okay, but what would you do?
I would confront him about it.
Uh-huh. And then what would you do? Would you do anything, or would you just talk about it?
Well, I don't know what I could do.
Well, you could say, honey, that's unacceptable. And we're either going to get some help, or I'm not going to be here for you.
Okay.
Okay? Now, here's my point. Being in the garage with a niece at 2 a.m. in the morning is kind of somewhere in the betrayal equivalent of dinner with somebody in a restaurant and dancing for the night. Do you see what I'm saying?
I agree.
That is blatant betrayal of you to get up out of bed and not wake you up and go out in the garage with the niece at 2. It's a big...
And when she came up the stairs, because I didn't catch them right there together. I caught her coming to say she was completely clothed, but he was outside, and there was no doubt in my mind where she was coming from. And when I talked to him about it, oh, we're just smoking. They're always just smoking. And
yeah.
Now, you know, want to go out in the back.
It's the equivalent of him taking her to dinner and having a night of dancing, them deciding to meet up in the garage at 2 a.m.
Elizabeth, if you don't really look at this as a larger problem, that your husband doesn't know how to create love and intimacy and security with you, and that he is a wandering person in terms of his mind, his eyes, his behaviors.
Yeah.
If you don't stop and ask, what am I going to do about this in the bigger picture? That is, would I create a separation and with an ultimatum that you have to get help before we live together again, or that we must go to marriage counseling and address this, and that your husband doesn't see a problem here. You're just a nag at this point, you see.
Yes, I am.
But not in my eyes. You're the one that's saying truth. There's something wrong here.
All right.
And the question is, what are you going to do about it, as Steve was saying? And you have to have a strategy in mind. I would talk to a counselor, a pastor, somebody, and I would try to create some interventions. Do you have a local church where a group of men know this, your husband?
No, we don't.
All right.
So every time I want to go to church, he's like, he doesn't want any parts of church.
Yeah. Right, right.
Well, I just think that probably there's a 9 out of 10 chance that he's having sex with the niece.
Now, how do I get, she's still in my house. How do I get her out of here?
Well, you tell her, you know, you and my husband being in the garage at 2 a.m. in the morning smoking together is an act of betrayal of me. If that had been me and I had gone out to smoke in the garage and your husband was there, I would have turned around and left.
But that's I've confronted her and asked her,
you have to leave now. Because I was nice to you, I gave you something, and you abused that. You have to leave. And then I would be saying to my husband, you betrayed me with my niece, and you've done some betraying things with my mother. We can't live here together until you get some help. He needs help.
He does.
You're right. He has a problem. But the question is, will you make the bold move to where he knows he must get help for that problem? Because he's not going to get help for the thing that makes him feel alive and feel like a man. And you need other people telling him how to change, not you.
Right, because and it doesn't seem people egg him on to make him feel good. Like I said, my family members and stuff, oh, he's the greatest guy. You're lucky to have him. He's a good husband. And he thinks he's all right. And that's why I say I'm so confused, because they're telling him all this great stuff, and I'm sitting over here looking like
Elizabeth.
I'm crazy.
Elizabeth,
and I know I'm not.
You're not confused, but it's confusing when you continue to allow it to happen.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
I'm going to send Walking Into Walls to you.
Okay.
And I hope that that will help you. You know, this Walking Into Walls, you can get it anywhere. On the 20th, it'll be in Barnes & Noble out on the religion table. That's a big deal. But it helps you see the things that you're doing that are absolutely blocking God's desires for you and Him working in you. It creates blind spots. And now here's a guy, I would say he's got a little bit of an entitlement issue there. He feels entitled to any woman that has anything available to him. He feels entitled to that, including his mother-in-law.
Well, there's another word, too, that sounds like that, unbridled. You know, there's a lot of unbridled men out there that don't understand. But if he doesn't go to church and doesn't want anything to do with church, the first thing he needs is the Lord. He needs to come to a place where he's trusting God for his salvation and all of a sudden is in a new position to be able to understand God has a different standard for him as a child of God.
Right. So it's a combination. I wish he'd go to every man's back. By the way, we had 60 people in Cincinnati last weekend. And the 14th of October, we've got another Every Man's Battle workshop. He needs to be there. Maybe you need to be there. Maybe your husband needs to be there. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Well, we are back, and just want to mention that this is an example. Elizabeth is a great example of somebody that could benefit from Wives in the Battle. That's next week, next weekend. Women in the Battle. And it's for all the women that are attached to or connected to a man who's struggling with sexual integrity. Let me tell you about something else, too. If you live in the Georgetown, Delaware area, you come out Friday night to Crossroad Community Church in Georgetown, and there you'll find a special concert by Willie Blake Davis. Now, the admission is free, but you need to get a ticket. And everybody that comes gets a free CD, and all the proceeds go to support New Life Ministries. The number to call is 302-629-0011. Here's why. Here's from Willie Blake Davis's blog. It says, "It's going to be an awesome night for a healing to start. This is something I've felt to do in my spirit for a long time. God has allowed all the doors to open for this event to take place. I'll be sharing my journey from despair into God's redeeming grace through words and songs that I've written. I will be able to give back to a ministry that was there when my life was a train wreck and was over the edge and I was in high gear. New Life was there when I hit bottom and I hit hard. And the road back wasn't easy." So call 302-629-0111. All proceeds go to New Life Ministry.
How cool is that?
Very cool.
Somehow New Life helped him and he wants to give back. That's a great, great story.
Pretty cool. All right, Becky from Dallas, Texas, listens to KWRD. Hello, Becky. How are you?
I am okay. Thank you.
Sure. Well, what's going on?
Well, I have a question because I don't know how to cope with some recent things that have happened.
Okay.
My brother-in-law sexually abused me when I was 13 for a couple years.
What happened to him?
So he went to prison, and he spent 13 years there, and thank you for the great state of Texas because he served every last one of those years. But he is out now,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how to cope with him being out.
Okay.
And my family is befriending him, and it's just difficult because for so long he's been locked up,
mm-hmm.
and now he's out, and I don't know how to deal with
it. How old were you when he molested you?
13.
Yeah, I was 13 and 14.
And how old are you now?
I'm 29.
Okay. Have you forgiven him?
I have, and I've given it to the Lord, and the Lord has done amazing things in my life.
Yeah.
He's made all things new, and I can,
right.
I believe that, and I do, I believe I've forgiven him, but I guess I haven't forgiven my family.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. If you forgive him, and you can realize that you're not vulnerable anymore, the combination can be pretty powerful. Then you're able to understand that a family could say, well, he's paid the price for it, and the best thing we can do is try to help him not get back in that mode of criminal activity, molestation, abusive stuff. So I think they're doing the right thing by trying to be supportive of him outside of prison.
Okay.
And if you've forgiven him and you've come to terms with your lack of vulnerability to him, you're not in the dynamic is no longer the same between the two of you.
Then
you can do both of those things fully with the help of a counselor, then you can tolerate the family having a connection with someone that hurt you so badly. I think your feelings are natural, they're normal to have, but you have to take those feelings and work through them.
I guess my struggle, with my family is that they never they never saw him as being in the wrong. It was, what did you do to deserve
this? Well, that's ridiculous. That's a whole other issue. They felt like it was your fault?
Yeah, and that was their question to me, is what did you do? And so now my family is befriending him. I would have loved for them to have said, I want to go kill him. You know, that's what I would have
heard. How old were you when he molested you?
Yeah, I was 13.
And how old, I'm sorry, how old was he?
He was 24.
You know, a 24-year-old and a 13-year-old, you know, sometimes 13-year-olds are flirtatious. But that doesn't mean you want to be sexually abused. That doesn't mean it's being naturally flirtatious as a young girl doesn't mean that you want to be abused sexually. Mylan, any thoughts about this that could be helpful?
Well, Becky, I don't blame you for being anxious. You should be anxious. That's a natural, normal response right now, that your abuser is just getting out of jail and now you have to see him or face him. So, number one, I think your feelings are authentic, real, and predictable. Okay, so don't think that because God has done a work in you that you shouldn't be anxious because a certain person is free. Everybody gets anxious when they have to confront somebody that's caused harm.
Anybody would be anxious.
Anybody would be anxious. The second thing is your family wasn't supportive, and I don't blame you for struggling with them. I think that trust is different than forgiveness. And so we can say, well, I want my family to see my viewpoint, but they didn't, and they may never. And so what does that mean? It means that family may not ever be a fully safe family to me. And as Christ said, you know, who are my mothers and brothers and sisters? And he looked at a group of people around him, and he said, these people who do the will of God are my mothers and brothers and sisters. So as you're now 29 years old, you're going to have to decide, what kind of an adult relationship do I want to have with my family? How safe are they? And we want, everything inside of us wants to entrust ourselves to our family. But essentially, Becky, they betrayed you.
And are still betraying you.
And are still betraying you. And so I might only be able to trust them to a certain level and give them my heart to a certain level.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had more time, Becky. I want to send you Walking into Walls. I think that'll help you with this. But really, you need a counselor to help you walk through this, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you need the support of some other women around you, maybe, you know, a support group there. But you need some help. You don't have a family that understands you, and so just hold on. We'll try to find a counselor that can help you, be there for you, and help you understand, or help that does understand you and help you understand what you're going through is pretty normal. All right, in May of 2012, we're going to retrace the footsteps of Paul, and you can find out more about that, our trip to Greece, and not just to Greece, but to the Acropolis, the Parthenon, to Philippi, to the Temple of Athena, Mars Hill, Ephesus, Patmos, Santorini, trip of a lifetime. And I'll tell you, you will never forget it. We had such a great Israel trip. It was like the perfect trip. There was just nothing wrong with that trip. It's just bizarre. God really blessed us there. And so find out about the Paul trip at 800-223-3855. 1-800-223-3855. And if you're watching, you see a big old foot of Paul right there on the screen. All right. And all of you that listen and watch us, if you could help us, we sure would appreciate it. If you get some kind of benefit out of this program, would you help us stay on the air to do it? It's just $30 a month to be a part of Club New Life, and that $30 goes to form a foundation of our support that just we're so grateful for those that give a little in combination to create so much value for this ministry. Or maybe there's a one-time gift. If you can give, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com. Thank you, Mylan. Always appreciate
being
with Mylan and all that you that listen and watch. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.